Praise the Lord. Isn't that amazing how that works? He demonstrates His love for us and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And our response ought to be the response of adoration. Our response ought to be the response of falling deeper and deeper and deeper in love with the One who loved us in spite of us, the One who loved us enough to rescue us from ourselves and from our sin. And I'm thankful today that it doesn't have to just be a ritualistic Christmas song. That we can truly understand that we're here to adore the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He first loved us, as the Apostle said. I love Him for one reason. Because He first loved me. And I want you to understand that today. You didn't do anything. It was He who did this. That you might experience the fullness of God's love in Christ. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to talk this morning. I told you last week we were going to take a few weeks and we're going to talk about Christmas a little bit and building up to this time of year. And we talked last week about a long, long time, and I understand that. We had a lot to cover. About the prophecies concerning the birth of Christ. We're going to continue to look at this story because lots of times what we do is we only look at it one time a year and we go, okay, cool, there's a babe, he was in a manger, he was in swaddling clothes, whatever swaddling clothes are. But he was in those clothes, and we have this picture in our mind that there were some shepherds that came with their animals, and because we saw that in a Christmas play. And then we have in our mind that there were these wise men, and we have in our mind that there were three. How many believe the Bible teaches that there were three wise men? Raise your hand. No, wrong. Three gifts. We don't know how many wise men. We don't know that they were really wise. We doctored it up. These guys were astronomers. They were magi. They were familiar with the stars, and they were familiar with the constellations and all the things. And so we're going to look today that in the midst of this, these guys, their expertise was actually summoned by an evil ruler for an evil plot. I want to talk to you today about the enemies of Christmas. How many would say the longer I've lived on this earth, the more enemies that I have seen to the birth of Christ? I'm not talking about December 25th. We know Jesus was not born on December 25th. Let me tell you something. If you get caught up in all that, you need to find better things to do. I don't know what day He was born. I do know this. He was born. He was born just like the Bible said He was born. The Bible doesn't say December 25th, so I don't believe in December 25th, but I do believe in the birth of Christ. I don't mind celebrating the birth of Christ. I don't mind getting excited because my Savior was born. I don't mind thinking about what we're going to talk about next week, that He wasn't born to stay a little babe in a manger. He was born for a purpose, and we'll talk about the purpose of Christmas next week. But I want to talk to you about the enemies of Christmas because we see them, right? And unfortunately, we see them in the church now more often, right? They've almost decided that Christmas is an evil day because it wasn't really on the 25th. It doesn't matter. Now, let me just tell you this. If you want to celebrate the birth of Christ on June the 3rd, do it. I don't care. But recognize there was a Savior born to a virgin just like the prophecies we looked last week and talked about, just like it said. He was born in that specific place outside of Bethlehem, just as the prophet said. He was born from the line of David, from the root of Jesse, just like the prophet said. So I don't care when you celebrate it. Celebrate the fact that there was a Savior who came to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, because here's the thing. If He wouldn't have been born that way, He wouldn't be the Savior. But the modern trend is let's just somehow do away with Christmas. Right? That's like, let's do away with the resurrection. Boy, wouldn't we be in trouble. Huh? Let's just do away. No, because the world has come against these things of God. Don't give up on them. Because there's always been enemies to the birth of Christ. There's always been enemies to the resurrection of Christ. There's always been enemies to the existence of Christ. In fact, Jesus Himself said while He was on this earth, the spirit of Antichrist is already here. The enemies to what I'm for and for what I'm doing, they're already here. They're present. But we as believers, we take note of this, right? When we're in Kohl's, right? Black Friday shopping. Why do you do this? Madness. But you go out in the middle of the night and you'll start hearing it. It starts about Thanksgiving, right? Happy holidays. Because if we say Merry Christmas, we might offend someone who's not a Christian. Here's the thing. Who cares? Here's the thing about that. Listen to me. Understand. Christmas, the birth of Christ, away in a manger, whatever you want to call the event that we celebrate recognizing the birth of Christ, whatever you call it, it's a Christian idea. It's a Christian truth from the Word of God. So we don't have to make the Muslims happy, right? During their festivals and things and all the things that they go through, they don't come to us and say, oh yeah, but respecting you. It's a Christian holiday. It's the birth of Christ. Again, if you want to celebrate it on June the 3rd, do it. Go to the shopping malls and tell everybody who you meet, Merry Christmas. And when they look at you like, what is wrong? You say, well, we really don't know. It's December 25th. I decided it was June the 3rd. And they go, okay. You crazy? Here's the thing. We're not celebrating this as a ritual if we're doing it right. Everybody understand that? We're celebrating it as a truth. We're celebrating it as a monumental event. Nobody's going around saying, birthdays are wrong. Because you know it's true. It's documented. You celebrate your kid's birthday party. And it's funny, people celebrate their kid's birthday party, but then won't do Christmas because it's on December 25th. Jesus really wasn't born on December 25th. Who cares? I would like to think this. If people didn't really know my real birthday, they would celebrate someday. The fact of the matter is I was born or hatched or whatever happened to me. But please recognize that I'm here and I only got here one way. And send cards and postcards and love offerings if you desire. But the fact is they're the enemies of Christ. And we clearly see those all around us, right? Because how many of you, be honest, you almost feel guilty if you say Merry Christmas and it offends someone. Don't raise your hand. Just be honest with yourself. It would be different. Here's the thing. It would be different if we took a Muslim holiday and decided we were going to make it into a Christian holiday. I would say this to you. You're wrong for that. You're wrong for that. But nobody looks at it from the opposite point of view and says this, okay, these people for thousands of years have celebrated the fact that their Savior was born of a virgin outside of Bethlehem, just as the prophet said, from the line of David, from the root of Jesse, just as the prophet said. And so these people have celebrated this, so what we're going to do is we're going to make them stop doing it. We're going to make them second guess if they're right in doing it. Is anybody burning up hot this morning? Huh? I'm sweating up here. No, I really am. I'm not just fired up. I'm hot. That's a hint to the people who have keys to the thermostat. I don't know how to make it any clearer. But as we look at this, I want you to see there's always been enemies of Christ. We're going to look at this story and we're going to see, man, that immediately, or almost immediately in the grander scheme of things, not as immediate as your nativity scene said, you don't have to go to the one in the front. You could always go to the one in the back and be less of a distraction. Just go back up there. I'm fine. I've sweat before. Just sit down. Sit down and learn something. For crying out loud. Walk to the front of the church. Who does that? No one. Bet he never does it again. How much you want to bet? He was going to be sneaky. You got to at least wear camo when you do that, dude. It had to be like carpet and tan camo. Rookie from Tucson. Just wait till I come into his next youth meeting when he's teaching a lesson. So as we look at this, I want you to see the enemies of Christmas. That since Jesus came to this earth, as a baby outside of Bethlehem, there have been people who are coming against his authority, against his power, against his position, against his majesty. There have been people who are enemies to Christ and everything that he stands for. Let's look at this. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. It says this. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, let me help you out. give you some accuracy here. This could be up to 2 years after the birth of Jesus. I know you're going to have to go home and you're going to have to make your nativity scene different, like you have your nativity scene on your mantle. Take the Magi and put them like in your kitchen, because they're at a distant land making their way to the manger, okay? So put them on top of your fridge. They saw the star. They're on their way, okay? But it's not like your nativity set, all right? And they ask, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? Underline that statement right there, okay? Would you do that for me? Because that's a very important statement. We're going to hear that lots of times throughout Scripture. But he says, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. You know why he was disturbed? He thought he was the King of the Jews. He's like, wait a second. Why is somebody wearing my name? He understood the tradition. He understood the Scripture. He understood. Watch, you're going to see that in a second. He understood that there was one potentially coming who could dethrone him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. You know why? Because he already kind of had an idea of where. He wanted to nail this down because of what he just heard. And they said this, in Bethlehem in Judea. For this is what the prophet has written. See, I didn't make all that stuff up last week, did I? But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. There's that prophecy again, saying that Jesus was going to come out of Bethlehem. Thank you, Micah. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. Why is that important? These guys were astronomers, man. They saw that star and said, well, that's a new one. They documented it. That's a new one. We've never seen that before. We saw the Big Dipper. We saw the Little Dipper, whatever they saw in that time. But that's a new one. So what they did their homework. And they wrote it down. And he said, when and where did this happen? And he sent them to Bethlehem. And he said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw... Wait a second. They didn't come to the manger, did they? They're moving on up. Right? They're in a house. They've been here for a little while. They're established a little bit. So, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Who do you think warned them in that dream? You'll see. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet. Watch, more prophecy concerning the birth of Christ. That's no longer important. Out of Egypt I called my son. Whoa, this was just putting a nail in it for him. You want to believe he's really the one? What's the odds of him being born outside of the city of David, Bethlehem? What's the odds of him being born into a family that came from the line of David, from the root of Jesse? What's the odds that he was born there in that place, in that way, by a virgin who had never been with a man, just as Scripture says? What is the chance? And if you don't believe that, I'm about to send him to Egypt so that you'll understand what I'm talking about. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. That's why I give you the mark 2 years. He knew if I get to 2 years and go down, I'll probably take care of it. So we know that your nativity scene was wrong, because he went back all the way 2 years and said, let's wipe these people out. He said all those who were 2 years and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi, then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. What? Why does the enemy want this date to not be so important? Why does he want you to celebrate Kwanzaa instead? Why does he want you to celebrate a man in a red suit, in a sleigh, in reindeer, whose nose is light up? Why does he want to do this? Because he's trying to keep you from recognizing the prophets have been talking about this for thousands of years. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. What is he saying? He went and wiped out a bunch of little Jewish kids. Why? Because the prophet said it was going to happen that way. So as we look at this, what does this mean for us in 2018? It means this. The enemies of Christ, the enemies of Christmas, have always been around and they're still around. Let's look at it in detail. So that you can understand why, because what we like to do, we as good Christian people who've lost sight of Christmas and what it really is about, we like to go, well, how could these guys be so evil? Here's the reasons. We're going to break it down. These are the reasons why, the enemies of Christmas. This is what happened. Number one, if you're keeping notes, write this down. They were perturbed by Jesus. Look at verse 1 through 3. It says this, after Jesus was born, Herod called the Magi and he said, hey, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? Herod then said this. He was disturbed and all of Jerusalem with him. He was upset. Why? He was perturbed about it. It got on his nerves. Why? Why does Jesus offend so many people? Let me ask you this. Why would you be offended by someone who came to this earth for the sole intention to die, to rescue you from certain death, hell, and judgment? Why would you become irritated with him? It seems like we would be irritated with the guy who murdered all the children. But people get irritated with Jesus, and Jesus really hasn't done any wrong. In fact, did no wrong at all. But Herod was perturbed. The enemies of Christ are always perturbed by Jesus. Here's why. He threatens their power. He threatens their power. Oh, you don't want this to be about Jesus, because if it's about Jesus, it can't be about you. Do you understand that? Herod had already set himself up as the king of the Jews. He was the man. He made all the decisions. And he knew this. In the back of his mind, if this Messiah, who we've been hearing about, if he actually set foot on this earth, there goes all my power and authority. My kingdom as I know it is over. Did you know that? That's the world's idea. They're so irritated about Jesus. Huh? Because here's the thing. Jesus does some things for us. He saves us from hell. He encourages us to repent and turn from our old lifestyle that was the world and turn to the new life in Christ. And here's the thing. They don't want to give up the world. Because they got everything that their sinful mind could desire all worked out. And when Jesus hits the scene, even that little baby in that manger who we know all this prophecy points toward, when he hits the scene and we recognize that, we have to check ourselves, don't we? Huh? When we sing Christmas songs about Emmanuel, God with us, well, if God came here to be with us, why did he come here to be with us? We're going to talk about that a lot next week. So they have to ask themselves these questions, and it irritates them. Why? Because they know this. If Jesus is truly the Messiah, if he is truly the Savior, their life is going to change. How many of you would say the moment that I had the capacity and faith to recognize that Jesus was truly the Savior, my life changed? Because God gave you that capacity. God gave you that faith to recognize Jesus for who he is. These people are so afraid of him. Herod was afraid because it threatened his power. It threatened not only his power, it threatened his position. How many of you know this? The moment you surrender to the reality of Jesus Christ, your position, if it was up here, went down here to the dirt. Are you listening? Your life, as you once knew it, is not your life anymore. Your plans, your ideas, your future, as you had it all planned out, they don't belong to you anymore. And that threatens people. They want to just erase him from history, because if they erase him from history, they don't have to be so irritated by the fact that he desires to do something new and different with them. So how about your position? The enemies of Christ and his birth, they don't like to recognize him because it threatens their position. Right? Because you went to college and you spent lots of money and you have this life that you sought to have. And this retirement that you're piling up. And this business plan. And these goals for your family. What if his goal for your family is that you go to some foreign country and you live on foreign soil and you're dirt poor, but you reach multitudes for Jesus Christ? Man, that's not the position that you wanted in life, was it? No, I can promise you right now, this right here, not the position I wanted. But here's the thing. When Jesus became my Savior, when he gave me the capacity to recognize him for who he really is, the one born of a virgin outside of Bethlehem who grew up to die on a cross for my sin and who rose again after the third day, when he showed me that, all of my thoughts, all of my desires, all of my positions that I aspired to climb to slowly fell to a place of humility for my true Lord and Savior. So you got to look at this. You got to see the enemies of Christ. Man, they're perturbed. They're irritated because he threatens them. He threatens their power. He threatens their position. But look what happens next. Not only are these guys perturbed by Jesus, Herod was perturbed and said all Jerusalem with him. Why? Because they liked the way things were going corrupt. Right? Did you know that? Their whole society was corrupt. Their religious society was corrupt and it trickled down to everyone else. Or maybe I don't remember it right. I heard that Jesus went in their temple and flipped that place upside down because they were so corrupt. How many of you know this? Listen to me. When so-called born-again followers of Jesus Christ aren't really true followers of Jesus Christ, it trickles down into society. And society is affected by your lack devotion, your lack of selling out to Jesus Christ. I promise you. That's why Christmas is fading away before our very eyes. Because we have stood back for years and worried about who we're going to offend by celebrating the birth of the one who all the prophets said was coming. As if we're to apologize for it. I didn't do it. Thankful for it. We see here the enemies of Christ have a different attitude. They were perturbed by Jesus. But then they did what so many people do in our society. They pretended to accept Jesus. Pretended to accept Jesus. Herod, verse 4 through 8, he talks about it and he says this. He calls all the religious people, right? Tell me from the scriptures, brothers. Where is this Jesus going to be born? Bethlehem, Judea. Oh, okay. Well, sounds like we got the right one. Then what he does, he calls the Magi, and it says this secretly. Secretly. Because the enemies of Jesus don't really want to destroy him so that you can tell they're destroying him. They do it secretly. Hey, go find him, put your eyes on him, and then get word back to me. Not so that I can destroy him. How many of you understand we read the end of the story? We know his intentions were to destroy him. Are you listening? But he didn't say that. He said, instead, what I want you to do is I want you to go find him and then let me know so that I can come worship him too. Right? Because he was about to saddle up his chariots and ride out to worship. No, that's not what his plans were at all. He pretended to accept Jesus, right? And you know that's what people do this time of year? Huh? You pretend to accept Jesus. You decorate your yard with a little plastic Jesus. A little plastic Mary and a little plastic Joseph. You put him in a little barn, which is totally not true from what a manger looked like. Your American idea of a manger, I guess, is a barn. You put things on your car and on your signs in your yard. Jesus, the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason we exist, not just the reason for the season. He's the reason that you have life and the reason that you have breath and the reason that you are graced with the next moment in this world. And if you know him, he's the reason that you have the hope of eternal life. But he pretended to accept Jesus. He acted as if Jesus was important. Isn't it sad? This is what I don't like about how Americans celebrate Christmas. Jesus is important one time a year. Two, if you like Easter. What's wrong with us, church? What's wrong with us? Can you really tell me? Listen, I promise you this. If I died for any one of you in here right now, if somebody came in here to shoot this place up and I took a bullet, I'd be a hero forever. Wouldn't I? I hope. You took a bullet for me, I'd be appreciative of it as long as I lived. I promise you that. And Jesus, the Christ, did way more than that. And we want to take note of him 2 times a year. Something's dreadfully wrong with that, isn't it? That's what the enemies of Christ do. They act as if he's important just so that they can have their way with him, right? When you need something, oh, life's going pretty good. I hadn't talked to Jesus in 14 months. But something bad just happened. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what he thinks about that. I'm not going to claim to. I know what I would think if I happened to be Jesus. Oh, you need me now? Oh, you need something. Right? How many of you have those friends that they call you when they need something? Huh? Right, your friend who you don't hear from for like 5 years and it starts the conversation with, hey, can I borrow? Sure, man, you're welcome to any of my stuff, but you know, I kind of like to talk to you when you didn't need something. The enemies of Christ, they play like they like Christ. They play like they accept him for their own agenda. Herod had a different plan, didn't he? So that I may go and worship him. No, so that you may go and kill him. That's your desire. What about us? So that I may go and worship him. No, so that I may go get something from him. I'm tired of American Christianity and all they want to do is get more from Jesus. We pray those prayers. We hear those sermons. We sing those songs. We need more. Really? More than his life? More than his position of holiness on a throne in heaven and came down to this earth and humbled himself for you and died a brutal, vicious death on a cross. You want more than that? More than an inheritance that's kept for you in heaven that'll never perish, spoil, or fade? And you want more than that? The enemies of Christ and what he stands for are real people. Unfortunately, sometimes we fall into that category, don't we? Because we need Jesus when we need him. And please, don't interrupt our life when we don't. We have a different agenda. The whole charismatic movement is built off an agenda. You listening? It's built off an agenda to get what you want and use Jesus' name so that you can hide behind it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The whole name it, claim it stuff. Right? You pray whatever you want to pray in Jesus' name, and if it ain't God's will, it ain't happening. Because praying in Jesus' name is not putting a tag on the end of your wish list, your Christmas list. Praying in Jesus' name is in accordance with Jesus' Spirit who lives in you. That's praying in Jesus' name. So as we look at this, understand, these people pretended to accept Jesus. They acted as if he was important, acted as if they really desired to worship him. And their whole agenda was contrary to that. It's sickening in America, isn't it? We act as if we're worshiping Jesus on Christmas so that we can feel good about all the greed that we lavish upon each other. Crickets. Is nobody sick of it? Huh? Where we do things out of obligation for other people and we go in debt on our credit cards in the name of Jesus? Because you said it was for Christmas. How ridiculous is that? We're just using Jesus. Are you listening to me? The greedy world is using Jesus to make money. That's why they have sales for Christmas, so that you'll run into their places and you'll buy more stuff that will perish in this world and not really acknowledge Jesus at all. Now, I would like to think that some of these retail people are believers and they're giving back to their local ministries. But if I was a betting man, I'd say probably not the case. Well, I know there's a rare exception, and I'm thankful for them. And they make good chicken. And the ladies say, and Hobby Lobby has good products too. But they're the rare exceptions. And you know what's funny about them? They're getting attacked all the time, aren't they? They're getting attacked all the time for their stance that they make for Christianity. the enemies of Jesus always pretend to accept it. Always. Did you know Satan himself, when he confronted Jesus, acted as if he was a friend? Hey, I'll give you this. Hey, if you can do this. Hey, I'll take you to the highest place. This can all be yours. Huh? For $19.95 plus shipping and handling. But wait, there's more. The enemy himself pretended to be Jesus' friend. So the enemies who follow him will pretend to be Jesus' friend and accept him as well. Because true acceptance, listen to me, true acceptance of Jesus is not, Lord, what can you do for me? You listen? When you truly accept Jesus from that point on, it is, Lord, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? How can I serve you? How can I bring glory to you? How can I reach others for you? How can I go out and give a message of hope to a hopeless world? We see they were perturbed by Jesus. They pretended to accept Jesus. Herod, oh, let us go so that we can worship him. Show us where he's at. Here's the thing. The last thing is this. All this being said, verse 12 through 18 tells us this. As we read it a moment ago, it was his plan to destroy Jesus. You know what? The liberals in this society that we live in, they would love for us to never talk about Jesus again. Wouldn't their life be easier? Huh? No rules? Everyone does what they think is right in their own eyes? Go back to Scripture and find that. Bad times happen when that happens. But what if the liberals could do what they really want to do and destroy Jesus and his word? Because if you didn't know this is his word. These are his commands. These are his requirements. These are his standards. If they could take those things and just do away with them, wouldn't they be happy campers? Wouldn't they? Yeah, they'd be excited about it. Because then they wouldn't have to pretend that they like Jesus. They could just be honest about the fact they want to destroy him so he doesn't cramp their lifestyle, whatever lifestyle that is that they choose. Because it really doesn't matter, right? Because if it's the lifestyle you like, it's right. If it's the thing that you enjoy doing, then that makes it good. Forget about conviction. Conviction doesn't matter if Jesus doesn't matter. They planned to destroy Jesus. They felt a need to put an end to him. You know how I know this? Watch this. History says it. Did you know that? Not only does the Word of God document this, history documents the fact that Herod executed multitude upon multitude of young babies. Why? Because his true desire was not to worship Jesus. His true desire was to destroy Jesus. And here's the thing, at any cost. At any cost. So what he did, he said, I'm going to make sure that I get him. Too bad. You missed. You should have maybe consulted those religious experts that you went and talked about. Now, where's Jesus going to run to after all this happens? But God was one step ahead of you, as he always is. That's why we can't destroy Jesus. That's why the enemies won't destroy Jesus. He planned to destroy Jesus. He felt the need to put an end to him. He even went to drastic measures. And he followed through. He followed through. Do you know this? There are people constantly in government. There are people constantly in the community that we live in. There are people all around us who are constantly trying to destroy Jesus, following through with plans to totally wipe him out. You don't believe me? How many of you? I'm not that old, I promise. How many of you remember when you used to pray in class every day before school when you started? Huh? But check this out. Now go back far with me. And you would close that prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. You think something hadn't happened? No, you've been lulled asleep while the enemy's telling you, I want to worship him. You've been lulled asleep so he can destroy him. And here's the thing. Nobody did anything. They just stood back and let it happen. Can I say this? I don't want that to happen on my watch. I know, hey, I had nothing to do with that. I was a little kid, man. I went to school 1 year. We prayed in Jesus' name. I went back to school and we didn't. You say, well, I went to a Porter New Caney football game. They still pray in Jesus' name from the press box right now. I hope they continue to do it. I do. But I'll tell you this. I'm not a very smart man. But I know this. One lawsuit, and I'll stop. Right, person hadn't come along yet. The enemies of Jesus always want to destroy who he is and all that he stands for. Here's the thing, try as they may, they'll fail. Herod failed. I love that. That's my favorite part of the story. Herod failed. He did not, watch this, he did not destroy Jesus Christ. Now let me show you why. Because this is where you fall into play. How many of you realize there were two visions that happened? Both of them came from angels. I'll just go ahead and cut the chase. One angel told the Magi, don't go back to Herod. Why? Because God's got a plan, and God's plans won't be thwarted because of evil people. But watch this. It takes us doing our due diligence. Are you listening? So the Magi were obedient to the angel who gave them the vision, but yet there was another person who had to be obedient. It wasn't there. You listening? Here's the thing. What if Joseph would have disobeyed God in this moment? Said, but my crew's here, my family's here. Right? Now listen, I understand this. It was God's sovereign will. It wasn't going to happen. But in the here and now, don't we decide obedience? Yeah, you bet we do. And here's the thing. Joseph's there and he had a role to play. You know what his role was? To save Jesus Christ from the enemy who was coming to kill him. Wow, what a noble cause. You say, what do you think? God needed Joseph to save his baby? No. God could have sent a lightning bolt and drove it through Herod's forehead. God chose to do it this way. You think that I think God needs me? Absolutely not. God could take a monkey and put him up here and do what he does with me. And probably better. He'd definitely be smarter. But the fact is, God chose to do it this way. Why? Because he honors our obedience when we are obedient. He rescued Jesus and that whole family. So how do we overcome the enemy? Let's look at that example. We can't be like Herod. Herod let his pride get in the way, didn't he? Huh? Didn't he? Never let your pride become more important than Jesus. Never let your pride become more important than Jesus. Herod knew that if he recognized Jesus, he was going to lose his position and his power. Let me say this to you today. If God calls you out of darkness and into light in just a few minutes, maybe he's calling you right now. You're going to lose your position. You're going to lose all of your thought authority, all of your thought control over your life that you really don't have anyways. You're going to lose all of that by submitting to him. I won't be a lying preacher and tell you otherwise. Don't let your pride become more important than Jesus Christ this morning. In a moment, some of you may go through that battle. I pray that you do. Because I know God will win. Do I really let go of my life? Do I really surrender to Jesus Christ? Do I really turn from my sin and my life of wickedness? And do I really turn to this one who was born in a manger, who grew, and who died on the cross for my sin? Do I do that? Let me say this. Don't be like Herod and let your pride get in the way, because then you'll be an enemy of Christ and everything that he stands for. Secondly, never lose sight of who Jesus really is and give him the worship that's due. Here's the thing. Herod lost sight of who he really is. He had experts tell him who he was. Did you know that? He had experts tell him that that was truly Jesus. And he turned a blind eye to it. Some of you today, listen to me. You hear my voice right now. Pay attention. He's going to reveal himself to some of you today. Don't turn your back to him. Don't act as if he's not revealing himself. Watch this. Don't act as if that thing called conviction that's seeding upon you even right now that shows you need to turn your life to Christ. Don't let yourself lose sight of what that really is. That's Jesus, and he's giving you another chance. That's Jesus, and he's calling you out of darkness and into life. That's Jesus, the one born of a virgin, born in the line of David, born from the root of Jesse, born outside of Bethlehem to live and to die for you and for me. Listen to his voice this morning and do not neglect to see him for who he really is. Then we see this. Last thing, for those of us who know Him, always, I say this one more time, always, always stand against those who try to destroy Him. Oh, I love the bravery of the Magi here, the wise men. You know what could have cost them their life? You understand? We read over that. We don't think much of it. Please understand. If Herod ever got wind that these guys double-crossed him, I promise you, it will cost them their life. Some way, somehow. How many of you know when we stand for Jesus, it costs us something? Why would it not? Have you ever read any books about the apostles? Anyone? One person? Christianity costs. It costs those of us who follow Christ. It sometimes costs us our life. Sometimes costs us that position that we were talking about, those dreams, those goals. So always stand against those who try to destroy Him and don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about the consequences. How many of you understand we're called to stand? Anybody not believe that? Anybody believe that we're left here to just blend in with society, not look different, not stand on the Word of God, not make an impact while we have these few moments in this life? Anybody believe that that's what we're here to do, is just to be idle and do nothing and waiting for Jesus to come? How many of you know this? You can make a stand for what's right, contrary to what the liberals say, without being a jerk. Huh? And you know how? It's right here. Oh, but here's what the Word of God says. Oh, but I don't like that. But here's what the Word of God says. But I don't agree with that. But here's what the Word of God says. Well, what do you think, Kirk? Huh? What do I think? Huh? Nothing. Here's what the Word of God says. Because what Kirk thinks really doesn't matter, does it? And the Word of God teaches us that there are enemies of the cross, enemies of the birth of Christ, enemies of the life of Christ, enemies to the return of Christ. We have to stand against the enemy. We do that by the example we've been given. Never let your pride become more important than Jesus. Never lose sight of who Jesus really is and give Him the worship that's due. And always stand against those who try to destroy Him, no matter what it may cost you. No matter what. But it may cost me my job. If I recognize in the place that I work, there's lots of different faiths. So? I get it. Why is their lie more important than your truth? Well, that sounds dogmatic, as if you believe you're the only true one. I am, because my Lord said it's the truth. I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no man shall come to the Father but by me. He is the way. And here's the thing. If you don't believe that He's the only way, can I help you out? You listening? Those of you who may be here and you've listened to the all roads lead to heaven garbage. If He's not the only way, watch. You listening? You, ma'am, sir, are not a Christian. Tough, isn't it? It hurts. Especially if you want to believe all that garbage. That's what the enemies want you to believe. That He's just another idea. He's not just another idea. He's King of Kings and He's Lord of Lords. And He was born in a manger outside of Bethlehem. I don't care if it was December 25th. Don't really care. June 28th. I don't care. He was born of a virgin. And at Christmas time, what we ought to do is we ought to take a stand for Jesus and at least take back the day that we look to celebrate His birth. But it takes people standing. At your workplace. In your home. Right? Can I help you, Christian family? You listen to me? If you do presents this year. And that guy. You have to do it. You feel like cheating your kids. If you have to do that, you better make sure that somehow you introduce Jesus to them and that He's way more important than all this other stuff. But I'll also tell you this, and it'll make some of you mad. Get ready. You don't have to do that. This can be about Jesus again. But it takes you standing up. Watch this. Lowering your pride. Oh, we already talked about this. But I'll have to confess my sin of lying all these years. Yeah, you will. But maybe I'm the crazy one. I think sometimes I am. Isn't if I tell you something that's not real and expect you to believe it as real, isn't that the definition of a lie? I know what people... I was hoping he wouldn't get on this Christmas. I'll be frank with you. I'm tired of imaginary things taking away from the one true God and the one true Savior who loved us enough to die for us. I'm tired of it. Let me tell you this. It doesn't make you a bad person because you want to do those things in light of Jesus. It makes you a person who's lost sight. It makes you a victim of a bunch of traditions that were handed down to cause you to lose sight. And I wish today that some families, some people, I'm not asking you to believe like I believe about this. I'm asking you to believe like the Bible says believe about it. I wish there were some people who would take a stand in their home. What will I do with all my decorations? Trash them! You decorated your life with sin. You got rid of all that when you came to Jesus. I'm glad to see that stuff go. Oh, man, I'm meddling now. Y'all like, okay, let's go, preacher. It's 12:05. Let me remind you of this. The enemy, your adversary, he roams the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's the enemy of Christmas. He's the enemy of Easter. He's the enemy of everything that Christ ever stood for. And he doesn't just walk out and say, hey, I'm the enemy. I'm here to party. No, he sneaks in with little things, little subtle, sneaky things that cause us to forget what Jesus really did for us and for who he really is. Because I promise you this. Contrary to the American idea, Jesus didn't ride into Bethlehem driven on a sleigh by a bunch of flying reindeer with a sack over his back to give good gifts to all the little children. Well, just the good children. The bad children, they got cold. But Jesus was the Messiah who was born of a virgin, as the prophet said he would be, who was born outside of Jerusalem, outside of Bethlehem, who was born in the line of David, from the root of Jesse, born as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth, that he might rescue you from your sin and from yourself, from certain judgment and from certain hell. And if that doesn't sound very Christmas to you, you don't know the true story of Christmas. Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? Every head bowed and every eye closed. And let me just say this. I wish I could give you visions of sugar plums that would dance in your head. But I can't get rid of the picture of the cross where Jesus Christ rescued me from my sin. I can't get rid of immediately in his life evil trying to destroy him, to destroy his name, to destroy who he was before he was even a grown man, when he was still a baby and couldn't even defend himself. The evil one was already plotting against him. Maybe you're here today and you say, Kurt, my whole life I've served my sin and I've served myself, and I feel today that Jesus is calling me to surrender my life to him. The real Jesus, not some fictitious made-up Jesus. The real Jesus who died on a cross for me when I didn't deserve it. I'm willing to turn from my sin and turn from myself to him and to him alone today. You say, I need Jesus to save me. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? You say, that's Jesus. I need him to save me this morning. Raise it up high where I can see you, where I can pray for you. anyone like that says, that's me. I need Jesus to save me. You're here today and you say, hey, Kurt, I'm a believer. No doubt in my mind. But I don't do much to make a stand for Jesus. This time of year, I just go with the flow. I just do whatever. But could you pray for me that I would have courage and I would have strength? Listen, I'm not asking you to go out and lambast people because they don't see things the way that you see things. I'm asking you to live a life that says you see things the way God's Word says to see things. That's how we can make a stand. You're here and you say, Kirk, that's me. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to pray with you. That's all I want to do, pray for you. Would you be honest and raise your hand and say, that's me, so that I can pray for you and pray with you? Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift all these who have their hands raised right now. Lord, I pray in a moment that they would have the time that they need with you. God, I pray for them. Lord, I know the struggle. I know the pull of the world. I know the pull of the enemy trying to get us to be like the world when it's so contrary to our new nature in Christ. Lord, I know the struggle that they're in right now. God, I pray that you show them that the moment they rely on your Holy Spirit, that you've already equipped them with the power to take the stand and to be the man, the woman of God that you've called them to be. God, I pray as the enemies of Christ and the enemies of Christmas and all that you stand for come against us from every direction, I pray that you would use these men and women to make a stand where others have neglected to make a stand for generations or more, so that you would receive all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all you do for us, that you loved us enough to come to this earth, to follow the will of the Father all the way to a cross, where you bore our sin, that you might purchase new life for us. Thank you that you're alive and you're well, and we thank you because of that. We walk in new life this morning. God, I pray for these who've been honest with you today. Allow your Spirit to move and to empower and to equip them for what you would have them to do. The altars are open. If you need prayer, there are folks down front to pray with you and to pray for you. Allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life.
Giving you my heart, all that is within, lay it all down for the sake of you, my King.